We're going to go to 2 Kings chapter 4 and beginning in verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elijah, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be slaves. So basically, just the points that stood out to my heart, and other points may stand out to yours, but these few things came to me today when I was looking at this. A certain woman cried. She was married to a prophet, and her prophet, her husband, died. So her source is gone. The source that she drew life from is gone. And this is a crisis. We've been encountering crisis in our lives. Well, she is, and it may be easier to relate to it for some right now. She is in a crisis. Her source, the one she was joined to and drew life from, is gone. He is dead. And Elijah was over the prophets. So she says, you know that my husband, your servant, did fear the Lord. But now the creditor is coming to take unto him my two sons to be slaves. So the creditor is coming to pay for the debt of her husband by taking their two sons and making them slaves. So to me, what I was feeling from the Spirit was that she had two sons with her husband who was a prophet. And that possibly being a type of being joined to the Lord being more than a prophet, but eternal life, the very Son of God, and that his life had conceived within her, his spirit had brought forth within her his nature, which is signified in this verse as two sons, that Christ the Son was within her. She was not left alone when her husband died or when the crisis came that removed him, because he had imparted into her his spirit. And she had his life. Two sons, not just one. His life was inside of her. But his life inside of her was not strong enough at this point to keep the creditor away, to keep that which was coming, now that the husband, the one she'd relied on, the one that she knew how to live under and with and draw supply and source and life and covering from, these sons that are his life within her are not strong enough at this point to be able to withstand the creditor, to withstand the famine, to withstand the lack that was about to be cast upon them. And this creditor was going to take her sons away from her and make them slaves. And in a sense, you look into the motives of this creditor, the motive of this creditor, and he's going, that which your husband left unto you, two sons, as a continuation of his spirit in the earth through you, a continuation of his spirit in the earth through you. I am going to come in this time of crisis when he is gone, and I'm going to make them slaves to me. They are going to serve the crisis, and they're going to serve the debt and the need and the problems, and they're not going to live unto God in the freedom of a son. They're going to live by the spirit of the Son, which is life and given in law, not under the law, not in bondage, but in the freedom of love and the freedom of selfless giving in the eternal spirit, which is above the law and bondage, but is one with the Father and is of one life, lives above all that in God's own bosom, in God's own nature. Well, these sons right now in verse 1 are in danger of being taken into a realm of bondage, where they're no longer being true to who they are. and they're serving something besides the Father and besides the spirit of the husband who imparted them to the wife. And so she's going, oh my gosh, he's gone, and the creditor is going to take the son's right out from my own house. And they're going to not live unto God like they were made to live. They're going to live unto the crisis, unto the deficit and the credit that's due, and they're going to serve a purpose that they were never meant to serve from my husband's heart. They were never meant to serve from the spirit in which they were birthed, from the seed that is their nature, from that which they are of. They were meant to serve God in a spirit of freedom, which is freely laying their life down, freely giving, freely pouring out, freely doing it by love, not by bondage to fear or to need or to crisis, but by love and selfless giving from the heart. So she's in a crisis. And in verse 2, Elijah says unto her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what have you in the house? And she says, thy handmaiden hath not anything in the house. Well, except a pot of oil. So instead of Elijah just coming up to her and saying, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. This is the plan of God. You know, and her just remaining passive and in a state of fear, you know, he's drawing out from her, listen, it's time to rise up and meet me at my heart and let's reason together. Let's commune. Let's find the answer face to face. Let's not just say, Pastor, tell me what to do. I'm in crisis. I'll do it. That's the same spirit of bondage that her sons are in danger of going in, or the spirit of Christ within her is in danger of going in. A good prophet, which Elijah was, he's not going to feed that motive in her. He's going to draw her out of the earth and out of her fears and out of her concerns into what do you have in you? What is in your house? You may not have your husband there because he's dead. You may not have all the resources that you think you need to get through this crisis, but you have something in your house that God can use to bring forth eternal supply. There is something in your house that you have that God can use to bring forth eternal supply. Well, you'll notice that her first response is basically this. I don't have anything in my house. I have not anything in my house. And that comma to me is a pause where maybe God's dealing with her to say, you do have something in your house. You're just being dramatic. Well, except a pot of oil. Now from that, you can say, man, she's got, if oil represents the Spirit, whether it be the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of Christ, if she's got a pot of oil in there and that represents the Spirit of God, then she's got something in her house. It may not be what she was hoping for, a full-formed son or the husband there or all the provision that she thinks is what's necessary for the child. But she's got a pot of oil. She got the Holy Spirit. And if it's the Holy Spirit that that pot of oil represents, then he has everything he needs to bring forth the son or to help these sons form properly unto the glory of the Father, to bring life out of a crisis. And he knows how to do it. He knows how to do it because he knows that from a slaughtered little preemie lamb came a life for the whole universe. He knows small things and humble beginnings and emptied things and things that are in death and things that are in decrease are very much like the image of the king and the eternal son that he's been beholding for eternity. And he knows out from that well comes all life. Out of death comes life, but not just any death. The dying of the Lord Jesus out of that slaughtered lamb is all fullness. So she's sad because she's emptied. He's excited, that Holy Spirit, because this is the perfect place to bring forth increase, to bring forth life, real life. What an opportunity this crisis is. She doesn't know it. Elijah knows it. And that little spirit be it a pot of oil, is aware of the glorious opportunity in this woman's life. So, verse 3, Elijah continues on, and then he said, "Go, borrow the vessels from all of your neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few." He says, get empty vessels. Don't go after the fullness. Don't go after all of the answers and all of the strength and all of the things that man can fill up on in their own resources and in their own wisdom and in their own strength. Or we've prayed about control. We've prayed about self and all the things that can fill us up. It can even be fear. We can just be filled with everything but the real, beautiful, eternal Spirit of Christ. And he's like, go and find emptied. And you know what? In a crisis, there's a lot more emptied vessels. And that's a beautiful thing. Borrow not a few. Verse 4. And when you are come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So he says, I want you to gather everything that's empty, and this little tiny bit of the Holy Spirit, and these sons, the Spirit of Christ, you're going to pour into all the empty. But I'm too empty. I don't have my husband, and my sons are about to be taken by the creditor, and I'm just a widow, and all I got is one pot of oil. I've got hardly any Jesus here. And you're wanting me to go to the empty and to pour until they're all poured into. From where? From me. Until they're all filled with this one little pot of oil. That's going to take some kind of crazy faith to give out of my lack, to give with the little bit of Jesus I have that I don't believe is enough even for myself to have faith through today. And instead of pouring it into me or even pouring it over my sons, you're asking me to pour it over the empty vessels and into them until I can't find any more. Set aside those vessels which are full. So she went up from him, shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And she poured, kind of like what Faf shared at the end of our prayer time, and she poured out. She didn't focus on her extremely tragic loss of her husband. She didn't focus on the creditors that wanted to take her sons into bondage from her. She didn't focus on the fact that she didn't have enough Jesus in her opinion for the crisis, just a small little flask of oil. She didn't focus on anything but the eternal way of the Godhead, but the wisdom of a slaughtered lamb, but the true spirit of Jesus, our bridegroom, and the true nature of the sons that he has given us, his son, his life, the eternal, incorruptible seed of Christ in us. And so she said, listen, I'm going to go with God. I'm going to go his way and not my way. I'm going to let that eternal spirit guide my heart through this crisis. And so she starts pouring out and not focusing on herself, and not obsessing over her lack of resources, and not fearing over her sons being taken from her in bondage, and not going so into self-pity and sorrow over her husband that's gone. Instead, she took all that could have taken and distracted her heart from the real eternal God, her eternal spirit, and this eternal spirit of her husband, the eternal spirit of the son in her, the eternal spirit of the prophet guiding her, the eternal spirit of the flask of oil in her. And she said, I'm going to go with life. I'm going to go with God's heart. I'm going to go with the way of Christ crucified. And she starts pouring into all these vessels around her that are empty right now because of the crisis, and they need filled, much like we were praying. And she just pours that little bit of Jesus she has into every empty vessel. And my goodness, the oil keeps coming. The more she doesn't use it for herself, but pours it into others, the emptied ones, the ones that need life, like we were praying, the ones that are open for Jesus, pouring all in that opportunity where people are emptied, all that oil. God just keeps making the oil. She just keeps having more and more oil. I thought I was, you know, I experienced that all the time. I just, every time I lead a worship service or teach a class, I'm like, Lord, I have nothing. I'm so weak. I don't have enough oil for this. I can't. And he says, if you just pour, Kelly, if you open up your cupboard and you say, I've got one little spark of Jesus in this body that just doesn't think it can do it. He says, I am going to make that oil pour and flow and flow and flow and flow until every cup in the room is full. And then you'll be back to you. But you open your heart, open your cupboard, open the door to your house, find those vessels that are hungry or questioning or needy or open to God for the first time because of a crisis, and you pour, and I will give you as much oil as they need. And when they're full, you'll feel your emptiness, you'll feel your weakness, you'll feel you again. But if you keep making it about God and others, and not about your weakness, your body, soul, spirit, whatever, you know, crisis is in me. And we all have them. No one's worse or better than the other. We all have our stuff in the house that causes us to, what am I going to do? We all have our own special situations. But I can only speak of my own personal experiences with this is a daily reality in all of our lives. And I know in my own where if I am willing to say, yes, Lord, I'm going to open the door and I'm going to pour from this little bit of oil that's in me. And all of us forever, we'll find he'll give us all the oil we need. It's his way to give. And we will have more than we need. We'll have more than we need. He will pour. And that is seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness. He'll take care of our needs as we take care of his need to pour life through us, to live through us to others, to give through us selflessly. We don't have to take care of ourselves if we're pouring the oil out. We don't have to worry if we're giving by the Spirit of Christ. We can pass through the crisis married to the Lamb, a vessel of his Spirit. No matter how little amount of oil we have in us, God will multiply it if we turn our heart away from ourselves and allow his eternal Spirit, allow Jesus to pour through us, allow the Holy Spirit to spark our faith to let him. You know what? We will experience his life in ways maybe we never have before, maybe she never had before. And like all of our hearts have been crying out, this is an incredible opportunity to let Jesus live in ways we've been crying out for him to do. And so, Father, we thank you. We thank you for this woman, this widow, and her crisis. We thank you for the counsel that Elisha gave her. We thank you for the empty vessels that were prepared for her to come pour into them, even when she felt she didn't have enough. You made it enough, Lord. You filled and poured beyond her resources. You were her source. The power of an endless life was right there in her house. But she only saw a small little thing of oil. Lord, help us to see past our resources and past our lack and past what we call the amount of Jesus we have or how Christ is formed in us. Let us see into your heart and your eternal Spirit that gives and just flow with you, Jesus, and trust you with our lives as we take care of your life within us that wants to give and pour into others. And Lord, as we do that, oh, how precious this time will be, how precious it will be to you, Lord, and how precious it will be to others. Oh, Father, continue to help our hearts be attuned to the Christ that is in us, to the Spirit that is calling, to the Father that is dealing. Lord, we just need you, but not in a way that's passive, in a way where our hearts rise up, look into your eyes, and hear your counsel, and take it into our walk. And so we thank you for the Word of God today and for the heart of Jesus in your body. We pray that your Spirit continue in our midst even after we hang up and say goodbye. Lord, that the Spirit just is so strong within us and it grows and increases as the days go by. And we are so blessed, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.